Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his own infallible and inspired word. Shall we just bow together in a little word of prayer before we minister God's word? Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we come now to the ministry of thy precious word, and we ask for the enlightenment and the help of thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that thou would guide us into thy truth, that we may benefit therefrom, and that we might leave this place today having received a blessing from the Lord. And so, our Father, we just ask thee now to make the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, if you remember, we were speaking on the verse from Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I had originally thought of speaking on revival this morning, but God in his purpose has directed me to this portion of scripture, which I trust will indeed be a help to us as we continue on the theme of calling upon the Lord. If you want a title for our sermon this morning, it would simply be Helping Grace. Let us turn again to Hebrews chapter 4, and verses 14 to 16, we read these precious words. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, in reading these verses, I want to underline three short, simple words that are found in this last verse of the chapter. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it is those three words, grace to help, that I want to talk about this morning for a short time. Helping grace is our subject. The grace of God is a tremendous subject. This doctrine continues right through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It begins in Genesis when we see God seeking for Adam and calling unto Adam after he had fallen, and calling unto him and seeking him out. And of course we're told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so this doctrine of grace has been manifested right throughout every age of the church's history, right from the very beginning of time, from the very Garden of Eden to the very last chapter of God's book of Revelation. The grace of God, of course, today we have it in a very special sense in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to this great subject of grace, it is like one of those great departments of the government, where with so many inner departments, and each inner department has a function in itself. And so this department we're looking at this morning of the great subject of God's grace is simply helping grace. Grace to help us in our time of need. Of course, there are various aspects to the subject of grace. There's electing grace. Over in the book of Romans, we read of where Paul writes, even now at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And grace simply means unmerited favor. God's favor bestowed upon us, electing us unto salvation and to eternal life. The hymn writer put it, 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. And then there's saving grace. Way back in the council chambers of eternity, God in his sovereign purpose elected us to everlasting life. And in time, he has called us unto himself. And we rejoice today in the saving grace of God. That same hymn goes on to say in the chorus, saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. I was saved by grace through faith on the groundwork of the finished work of Calvary. And that grace is flowing like a river from the Savior's wounded side, bringing me the salvation and the help and the encouragement and the succor of the Lord God Almighty. But we're not thinking along the lines of electing grace or saving grace this morning. We thank God that we're saved. We rejoice in the experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and of having him reigning and living in our hearts. But this morning our thoughts are turning to the aspect of grace which we term helping grace. And I trust that God will bless us. But I want us to realize this morning that we must come and avail ourselves of this helping grace. You know, in God's electing grace, when he chose us in Christ from the foundation of the world, we had nothing to do with that, because we weren't there anyway to do anything about it, because God has chosen us. In saving grace, God saved us. But here in helping grace, we are told that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Helping grace is different in that we must come in and possess our possessions in Christ. We must come in and obtain this mercy, and we must come in and claim it and seek to appropriate it into our lives day by day. We're thinking about the grace of God in a special sense this morning, helping grace. But this grace is only for the people of God, for those who love the Lord and those who are walking closely to Him. The dear unsaved know nothing of God's helping grace until, first of all, you're saved by His grace. And I wonder this morning, before we proceed, if there is an unsaved person in the gathering. My thank God that He is here today to meet your need. He's here to save your precious soul and to draw you to Himself that you might experience initially God's saving grace, and then through life's journey experience God's helping grace. It's a wonderful thing. It's a tremendous thing to have divine support and to have God's grace helping us during the walk of our daily lives. God's grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, we've got a high priest, a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was on all points tempted like as we are. Yet He is without sin. And because we have made this profession of faith in Christ and we have such a high priest, we can come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. He's speaking to God's people. He's speaking to those who know Him and who have secured salvation by faith in the blessed redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to get hold of this morning. This is not just showered upon our heads. No, it isn't. This is something that we've got to go in and possess. It's something that is yours and it's mine as we pray and as we seek to believe God. And if you're not a praying believer this morning, then you will never taste of God's helping grace. For a praying believer, a trusting believer, will experience the helping grace of the Lord. This is the grace of the Lord. It's for the people of the Lord, and it's to be found at the throne of grace. You see, if we want to take the grace of God this morning and the three departments that we've already mentioned, we want to look at God dealing with His people of old in Israel, how He had chosen them when they were right down there in Egypt under the taskmasters and the slave drivers of Egypt, and how God had chosen them and called them out while they were down there, and as He brought them out through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, He gave them the promise of the promised land, and they were to go in and to possess their possessions in that land. There was no use in their staying in the wilderness. They would have had a lifelong wilderness experience, and so they did, because they disobeyed and disbelieved the word of the Lord. And so if we are to be believing and trusting this morning, let us come in and possess our inheritance, our possessions in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to show, or at least with God's help, try to show you this being done in the experience of several of God's servants in the Scriptures. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace this morning that we might find grace to help in our time of need. You will remember, of course, the greatest missionary of all time, the Apostle Paul. In the second book of Corinthians, he speaks to us of having a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There was given to me, he says, a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he called this thorn in the flesh the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Then he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now you will see that this was some kind of infirmity that Paul had. Some people believe that he was going blind. This may well be because of the stonings that he received, the great blinding light he saw on the road to Damascus. It could well be that he was going blind. But Paul thought that he'd be better without this infirmity. And so he called upon the Lord three times to remove it. Each time, the answer came back from heaven. And read in verse 8 of that chapter, "My grace is sufficient for thee." God says, "Paul, I'm not going to take away the thorn. No, I won't remove it. But what I will do, I'll give you grace to bear it. There's helping grace at the throne of grace to suffer." And I want us to notice this morning that there's grace to help you to suffer today. Perhaps God has called you through the valley of affliction. God may have called you through the valley of sorrow. God may be calling you through the valley of trouble. He may be calling you through the valley with a burden, distress, some kind of affliction. But listen, there is grace at the throne of grace to help you to bear it. I was visiting this week, and I visited some of the elderly and shut-in folks who are not able to be out. And it struck me in an amazing way of how those people in their own home, hardly able to get out, are praising and glorifying the Lord in their infirmity. And God's grace is sufficient for them in their time of need. We thank God today with health and strength, with every faculty of our being, our limbs, our energy, and yet let us praise God this morning that even in this house we can come to the throne of grace and find grace to help us in our time of need. What's your need this morning? God knows it. God knows your heart. He knows the burden you bear. He knows the sorrow and the heartaches. Oh, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. He has promised grace to help us in our time of need. Let us come in and possess our possessions this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will guide us. He will help us. He's promised to do it, and he never fails. But we must move on from there. Not only is there grace to help us to suffer, whatever your suffering is this morning, Jesus Christ is able to afford you grace to bear it. May not be his will in the moments, in the days immediately ahead, to remove it. But thank God you can glorify God in your hour of trial, in your time of distress, and in your time of affliction. Let us glorify God in it. The Apostle Paul did, and know the sufficiency of God's grace in time of need. Then moving on, we not only see that there's grace for us to suffer, but there's also grace for us to stand. In the story of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer. And there at the gate of that temple, the beautiful gate, there was a lame man sitting. And you remember how Peter turned to him, and Peter said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man leaped up and walked and entered into the temple with them, praising the Lord. And of course, as a result of this mighty miracle of God's power, the crowd gathered around Peter, and they availed themselves of the opportunity to preach the gospel to that crowd. But as the crowd were there, the Sanhedrin, the authorities, came and they arrested Peter and John, and they took them before the Jewish court, and they were questioned about the miracle of the healing of the lame man. And when they saw that they could do nothing with them, they let them go to their own company. And they went to a place where a prayer meeting was being held, and they told how the Lord had blessed them, and now the Lord how the Lord beheld their threatenings and delivered them. And further down the chapter, I think it's verse 33, you'll find there, "And great grace was upon them all." So there was grace for Peter and John and the disciples to stand against opposition, against those who would despise them, against those who would seek to threaten it. And there was grace for them to stand. And perhaps sometime during this Christmas season, or during the incoming year, young person or older person, you and I may be called upon to stand. We may find ourselves in a tight corner, in the school, in the office, in the workshop, or wherever it may be. But thank God there is grace to help us to stand faithfully for God. Perhaps I may find myself among some of the modern theologians and liberals of the present day. But praise God, we can get grace from the throne of grace to help us to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And so let us come this morning. There's grace to help us in our time of need. May God help you to come today. Help me to come, just as a needy sinner, coming to the one who's able to meet our need. Grace to stand. Grace to stand and to take your stand for God. Grace to testify to God's faithfulness. Grace to stand against all the modern trends of today. Grace to stand faithfully for God. Perhaps we find it difficult. Perhaps you find it difficult. But come to God. Come to the throne of grace. Make much of it. There's grace to stand. And there's grace for this congregation of God's people to stand together. To stand together to fight apostasy, modernism, and liberalism. And to stand separated outside the camp of liberalism as we stand faithful to God and for God. Let's not be ashamed. The hymn writer put it, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. There's grace sufficient to meet our every need. Oh, may it be that God will help us to stand together as a congregation of his people and to move forward in triumph and in victory, treading upon the devil as we march in the name of the mighty Savior. God is able. Let us come to the throne of grace this morning and find grace to help us in our time of need. Then you'll remember there was a time when Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. He was all alone. And then he added this little phrase, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You know, sometimes it may seem that we'll be alone in our afflictions. We'll be alone as we face opposition. We'll be alone as we have to stand. But thank God, when we consider it, we're not alone, because God is with us. God's presence is there to support us. Paul said, all men forsook me and fled, and I was left standing alone. And he says, nevertheless, I'm not alone. The Lord stood by me. What a lovely phrase. Brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, let us remember we're never alone. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. May we go through with God and press forward with him. And then, of course, not only grace to suffer and to stand, standing together and to stand alone, but there's grace to sacrifice. Now, Paul was talking to the Corinthians again about giving to the Lord, and he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. There's grace to help us to sacrifice for the Lord. Remember how he sacrificed for us? He left aside the riches of his glory above for the period of suffering, that he might redeem you and I from the curse of sin through his blood shedding upon the cross of Calvary, to emancipate us from the mire and the clay, to set our feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus the Lord. How he made that sacrifice upon the tree when he laid down his life willingly for you and I. He gave it willingly for us. Oh, we see the sacrifice there. What a great sacrifice he made for you and I. And if Jesus Christ be God, and he is, then no sacrifice that I can make would be too great for him. C.T. Studd said that. May it be that we too will say, as we consider the sacrifice of Calvary and how the Lord Jesus Christ gave all for us, that we will say, Lord, here's my all. I'm willing to sacrifice for thee. And if God should call upon you to sacrifice something for his glory and for his honor and for the blessing of your own life, may you say to him, Lord, I'm willing to make whatever sacrifice thou dost ask me to make. There's grace to help us to do so. And then, of course, there's grace to help us to supplicate, to pray. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt, they were like a young army marching from Egypt to Canaan. They had never been to battle before, just like young believers. And in Exodus chapter 17 it says, then came Amalek and fought against Israel. You know, Amalek is a type of the old devil. And it may be there are some young believers in the service here this morning, and you've never done battle with Amalek before. You've never fought a severe battle against the enemy. Remember, Amalek is always seeking to confront and to oppose the people of God. And sooner or later, you'll be confronted with the old enemy, with the devil. But praise God, there's grace to help you in your time of need. For Israel, this was a terrible day because they'd never been to battle before. But what do we find? We find that Moses sends his general, Joshua, right down into the valley to confront old Amalek. And there he fights with him all day long. What does Moses do? Moses takes Aaron and Hur, and the three of them climb the hill. And at the top of that hill, all day long, we find Moses raising his hands to high heaven in prayer, beseeching God's help, invoking God's blessing, and praying for the scattering of the enemy and for victory for the people of God. And when Moses' hands were held in prayer, victory belonged to Israel and to Joshua. But when Moses let down the hands, the Bible says, the enemy prevailed. There's grace to help us to pray. Moses' hands were so heavy, after praying all day they got tired and they began to sag and to come down. What does he do? He gets Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, and he says, you stay my hands. You support me in prayer. Thank God, he found help to pray. May we support each other's hands in prayer in this congregation. May we support the weak, those in need. May we bring ourselves to help others. May let us remember above all that in the very place of prayer itself, when the old enemy would fight us, would seek to keep us away from it, when he would seek to distract us and seek to molest us, there's grace to help in time of need. Oh, may it be that God will gather us together as an army of his people that will stand valiantly and faithfully as stalwarts, as Joshua and Moses and Aaron and Hur, that will know helping grace in our time of need. And then, hurrying on as time goes so quickly, let me say that there's also grace not only to supplicate, to pray. Thank God there is. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But there's grace to help us to start again. Now I say this simply for the purpose that there may be one or two in this service and your love for the Lord has grown dim. Your zeal has ebbed out, and you're no longer perhaps enjoying the blessing that you once enjoyed. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, I think it's chapter 24. Remember there, that day there were two going down the road to Emmaus. Two going down the road, it was the first resurrection day, and these two, which I believe are Cleopas and his wife, they were downcast. They were depressed. They were discouraged. And they were going down to Emmaus just because they lived there. They were going home. They had been with the disciples up in Jerusalem. And such was their discouragement that they now decided to go home. Leave it all. Go back again to where they came from. But the very fact that they were going down the road indicates that they had turned their back upon Jerusalem, where the rest of the believers were assembled together in the upper room. Yes, they turned their back upon the morning meeting. So there they are, tired, fed up, perhaps they're in the fog, they're in the haze. Christ had been crucified, their hopes had been shattered. Oh, they said, we thought that it had been He who would have redeemed Israel. Then something wonderful happened. The Lord Himself drew near, and what a lovely verse, and went with them. The Lord Himself drew near and went with them. And as they walked slowly along, He began to talk to them. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. What an experience that must have been for the two on the road to Emmaus. 8 miles that journey takes. A long time in the burning eastern sun. And how He expounded the scriptures in their hearing the whole way along the 8 mile journey. My, what one would have given to have such an experience of 8 miles walking in an eastern sun, listening to the great teacher Himself, expounding all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Oh, I wonder this morning, is there someone here and you've turned back? You've become tired and fed up, perhaps, in the Christian pathway, and things haven't worked out as you thought they would. There have been disappointments, discouragements, and you've left the morning meeting, as it were. You've left the fellowship of God's house, left the company of God's people, and perhaps you're starting to take the backward step back home again. What happened here? But as He opened the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ opened the Scriptures, He let them see how foolish they were not to believe the prophets. And as He went on into the Scriptures, He warmed their hearts so much that when He left them, they couldn't content themselves at home any longer. They returned immediately back to Jerusalem to seek again the company of God's people. Oh, there's grace to start again, isn't there? Backslider this morning, growing cold in heart, leaving off your first love. Thank God there's grace for you to begin at the cross. May as you come to the feet of the Lord Jesus today, He can whisper grace into your soul. He can inspire your heart and infuse that help that you need to start again. Will you say to Him this morning, here I am, I have failed. Lord, You've warmed my heart through Thy word. Lord, You've called me. I know that Your grace is sufficient. The storehouse is so large. Inexhaustible grace of God. Oh, there's grace to help me in my time of need. Oh, come today. And just taste once more and see that the Lord is great. And then last of all, and with this I must close very briefly. Finally, there is grace to surrender our lives at the end of life's journey. You've heard it said, perhaps we have in our part of the world, and I'm sure you have, there's dying grace. Thank God there is. For the child of God who's trusting in Him, who's lived a life to glorify and honor the blessed Savior, we rejoice today that there's grace to, at the end of the journey, to surrender our lives up to the very hand of God. Into His presence, there to enter into the glories of the eternal kingdom. The psalmist knew it. He said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. My, what an assurance. What a blessing. The apostle Paul knew it. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready to be offered. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge,
He's going to give me in that great day. Stephen knew it. He had this grace. My, when the stones were pounding down upon him, his face was shining, and his eyes were upon the Lord, who was upon the throne. His eyes he beheld, heaven was open to him, and he saw the Lord. There's grace, friends, to help us, even at the end of the journey. Tell me, are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? What a tremendous privilege to know him. To have his helping grace all along the pathway of life. And then at the end of life itself, when the door of eternity opens, out into that great corridor of eternity when we have to enter, there's grace to bring us right through, where we'll meet our Savior face to face. Do you know God's grace today? Oh, these three simple little words, grace to help. It's the grace of the Lord. It's for the children of the Lord. And it's to be found at the throne of the Lord. Oh, may God's people avail of it today. May they realize the riches of God's grace. May they realize the inexhaustibility of God's grace. And come and avail yourself today. Soak yourself in his grace. Grace to help. Sinner, there's grace to save you and to bring you to Jesus. And backslider, there's grace to bring you back again to trust in the blessed Savior. May the Lord help us each one today to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.